powerful Word of God. We believe in the Word of God. So say let's say these words together. It is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and then pass it on. Amen. Amen. Praise God for His Word. Today, this sermon is a very serious and sober sermon. I realize that many of you use this opportunity to take a nap, but I encourage you to try to stay awake today. And this is an important word, I believe, from the Lord. The title, as you see on the PowerPoint, A Storm is Coming. We had this three separate scriptures beginning in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. When is it going to happen? In the last days. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Then go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, 25 through 28. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring and men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Finally, in Mark chapter 13, verses 5 through 8. And Jesus, answering them, began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Research in the field of biblical prophecy reveals that there are 1,064 passages in the Bible that contain definite predictions of future events. There are 737 prophecies in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament there are 327 such prophecies. Roughly 68% of the entire Bible is dealing with prophetic events, events of the future. We're reminded in 2 Peter 1 and 10 that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It comes by the Holy Spirit upon men to give them that truth. We understand the Bible is clearly telling us today that in the last days, there will be troubling times. That things will not be getting better. That the very foundation and moorings of this world and even this nation, all that gives a sense of well-being, will begin to crumble. In January of 2019, just a little over 18 months ago, I preached a very similar sermon about a storm that is coming into America. And this morning I feel led to repeat part of my concerns. And now with some new information I'll share with you today. This is a sober message. It's one that I pray will stir hearts and awaken those that have gone to sleep spiritually. I believe a storm is coming to America. a storm that will give us the opportunity to show the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it may just provide a last chance to have the greatest harvest ever of souls coming to know Christ as our Savior. Our local weathermen will often give the weather in the evening, and they'll say something like, well, there is a powerful front coming through North Texas, and don't let the storm wake you up, meaning that you're liable to be woken up by the storm. I believe America is too deep in its commitment to sin and selfishness. America hates righteousness too much to repent without an eye-opening catastrophe, one that will indeed wake us up. The coming storm that I'm speaking of is not political. I'm not talking about politics today. It's spiritual, and only a spiritual response will take us through the storm that's coming. I know some folks may be saying, well, Pastor, what are you trying to tell us today? I'm trying to tell you today that there is an approaching season unlike anything we've ever seen on this earth or in this country. And that it will occur prior to the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. That everything that gives us security, everything that gives us comfort and assurance, everything that gives us reasonable tranquility of our communities, life as we know it today, and we know it's changed a lot the last few months, hasn't it? But life as we know it will be in jeopardy. And there will be the truth of what Jesus has told us. He said, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. I know there's various interpretations of that word, the end. I personally believe that the end is referencing to the end of the church age. The church age, the end is not yet. Things will begin to happen, but the church age will not end yet as we wait for the rapture of the church. I want to remind you that the Bible tells us that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, if God didn't spare His angels, He will not spare America. He will not. Last week, Brother Paul Hardin, who's a detective here in the city of McKinney. In fact, Brother Paul Hardin has served and protected the community of McKinney as a police officer and a detective for many, many years. 30-something years he's been in serving this community. And Brother Hardin will be retiring from his work as a detective at the end of this month. And I just thank you, Paul, if you're listening, I thank you for your service to this community to protect and to serve. Thank you, Paul. I can't say thank you enough. Paul sent me a video of an Assembly of God pastor named Dana Coverstone. Reverend Coverstone pastors Living Word Church of the Assemblies of God in Berksville, Kentucky. And he's an ordained minister through the Assemblies of God. In the video that Paul sent me, Reverend Coverstone tells of dreams that he's had. One dream last December, and another dream just a few weeks ago toward the end of June. I take seriously my duties and responsibility as your pastor to diligently review information and material and preaching and presentations in our church to be consistent with the Bible without compromise. As your pastor, that is my duty. I will tell you that after much prayer and discussion with our deacon board and their encouragement and agreement, I want to share today this video of Reverend Coverstone providing the details of the dream. And Lord, if you'll prepare and play that video, well, thank you. He's going to turn the lights off for us and get us all set so we can see this image a little bit more clearly. Uh, It's got to be plugged in, brother. I don't think it's plugged in. Is it? It's probably muted there on auxiliary. Just check the mute on auxiliary and unmute it.
Prayer group back in December, second or third week of December.
Why don't you start it back over?
Three specific dreams that I've had recently, going back to December. Two that I've had this week, both Monday and last night, Monday and Tuesday night. Because I believe, number one, they are prophetic. The first one that I had has come explicitly true based on the events of March through June, the month in which we're living. And I do not claim to be a prophet by any means. I understand, though, that some dreams and visions by their nature have a prophetic tendency to them. But I do believe I've seen things, both that have happened as relevant by the first dream that I had and some things that I've seen recently. So you can take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. You can pray about it. You can think about it. But I believe that I have a warning for the country, a warning for rural America, a warning for America overall. But here's what happened. Back in December, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a calendar starting January 2020. And it was being flipped. And I saw January, I saw February, I saw March. And when March came up, the hand held it, and I saw a finger underline the month of March, and then tap it three times. So underline the month of March, tapped it three times. So to me, it was emphasis. Something's going to happen in March. And then I saw April, May, June. And when June came, the hand underlined June again and tapped it three times. Then in the vision, I saw people marching. I saw protests. I saw people wearing masks. I saw lines going into hospitals. I saw typical medical doctors with needles or syringes. I saw people on ventilators. I saw people who were very, very sick, very, very ill. I saw newspaper headlines trumpeting thousands of people getting sick. I saw ambulances just flying down roads. I saw cities on fire. I saw buildings being burned. I saw protesters with masks. I saw people who had their fists in the air, people who were yelling and screaming, angry at the world. I saw courthouses. I saw state houses surrounded. I saw people who were mad at the world. I saw guns, shotguns specifically, put in the air, held like this. And I saw barriers within cities. And I told several men in my church about this, and I can confirm who those men were, and they'll confirm that what I'm telling you is what I told them. I saw absolute chaos. And the other thing I saw was vultures flying over large cities. Not just the ones that were burning, but I saw vultures flying over the cities, and I saw smoke rising, and I saw people fearful. I saw people terrified. I saw people inside their homes and looking out the windows, the curtains of their windows, with guns in their hands because there was absolute fear. Then I heard the words, brace yourself, brace yourself. So since December, I've been hearing those words, brace yourself, brace yourself. January, February came, didn't seem too much. I reminded the men of the dream. And then in March, boom, COVID-19 hit. And things started shutting down. Churches were shut down. Business was shut down. The economy shut down. Then we began to see the protests starting in May in Minneapolis, and all those things began to go on. So there we are at the end of the primary election here in Kentucky. And now there's talk of more shutdowns. I just heard the governor talk about schools opening back up and things of that nature. But the things that I saw in a dream and vision back in December are the same things that I watched in the news almost every day since March through June. All this time I kept hearing, brace yourself, brace yourself. I spend time in prayer. I spend time in the Word. I'm a pastor. And it's not just my job. It's something that I enjoy doing, I love doing. And I'm very interested in the news around the world. I read 40 newspapers a day from all around the world. I keep up with news in other parts of the nations better sometimes than I hear here because it's hard to know who to trust. But I get news from all over the world, all around the world, from both liberal and conservative sources. I'm very well read. I'm very understanding of how nations work. I've traveled quite a bit, and I'm not just making these things up. I can confirm what I have said. And with that in mind, on Monday night, I had another dream. And it woke me from my bed. I made notes about it. I shot some video myself, just making sure I can remember. But here's what I saw. I saw a calendar. Start with a calendar. And as I was having this, the calendar was up, a white figure appeared. And it was representing God, the Holy Spirit, something pure, something righteous, something true, something holy, because there was nothing sinister about it, nothing evil. But I heard the voice say, part two, part two. And I saw June go up. I saw July, I saw August, and then I saw September. And I saw the finger underneath the word September, and like emphasizing it, and tapped it three times. And then I saw October come up, and then I saw November. And this is when it got real to me in the dream. I think the intensity, according to my Fitbit, when I woke up, my heart rate was about 180. So that was Monday night. It was also a night that I woke up not feeling very well at all. I was up during the night, not feeling well. But anyway, the minute the finger underlined November three times, instead of tapping it, I saw a fist ball up and it hit the calendar. And literally, the calendar exploded into the wall. The numbers seemed like they were 3D and they were falling. They were just flying everywhere. And there was a cloud of chaos that started. And then the next thing I saw was I saw armed protesters. I saw fighting in the streets. I saw people pummeling one another. I saw businesses shuttered and shut up. I saw schools closed. I saw schoolrooms with cobwebs hanging in them, and like things like papers falling off the wall and posters falling like no one had been in them for months. I saw bank buildings with the roofs being taken off. And it looked almost like alien abduction because money was just flying through the roof into some type of like a vacuum cleaner. I know it sounds kind of strange, but I was watching wealth just being taken. I saw politicians in back rooms making deals with people, patting people on the back and laughing and smiling and smirking. And I saw monuments. I saw Washington, D.C. burning. I saw Washington, D.C. blazing. I saw fires everywhere. I saw people being rounded up. I saw Chinese and Russian soldiers on the ground. And Russian soldiers were telling the Chinese soldiers to go and pick up these people, round up these people, secure this quadrant, secure this area. I saw blue helmets of the UN. I saw military things taking place. I also saw no sign of President Trump. I saw no sign of leadership in Washington, D.C. But the vultures that I had seen were now like gargoyles, and they were 10 feet off the ground, 10 to 15 feet off the ground. And they were just attacking people mercilessly. I saw people hiding in their homes and garages. I saw churches being burned. I saw homes being burned. I saw absolute chaos. And the fist punch on the November of 2020 is what got my attention. And then I heard the words again, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. That has been something that I have heard for almost seven months now. Starting once we get to July, it's going to be 7 months. And once again, I'm not claiming to be a prophet. I'm not proclaiming, we'll see what happens in November through November and see if I'm right about this. But I know when I hear God's voice, I know what God's voice sounds like to me. I know when he speaks. And I know when I have a dream that I know is him. And the things that I was seeing, I don't say this to scare people, but I say this to warn people that there are some pretty sinister things coming down the pike. And not just for the lost, but for God's people as well. The second dream I had last night, and it woke me up. In this dream, we just had a yard sale to help fund a team going to Ecuador this next year. And we had a yard sale. And I had asked our secretary to get us some change for that yard sale. So in the dream that I'm having, I walk to the bank. I walk into the bank to get some change. And on the door it says there's no change available. I saw the sign, it registered in my mind, but I walked on in, and the president of the local bank was at the teller station, and she was going to be taking care of business. And I said, I need to get $10 in quarters for a yard sale. And she said, I'm sorry, but the U.S. Mint is no longer making currency or making change like pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars. We're not doing that anymore. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She said, they've stopped doing it. And I said, well, how are we going to be able to charge $1.50 for anything? And she said, prepare for hyperinflation and just charge $2. And then she said to me in the dream, oh, and by the way, $1 and $5 bills will follow soon after that. And then I heard those words, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. And I woke up, I wrote these things down. I've never gone on video and recorded the dreams that I've had. And I hesitated to not do the one I had back in December. But everything I saw in that dream in December came true between March and June, when in the dream I was showed March through June. And so I don't think I would be doing anyone a service if I don't share what I saw in these dreams and visions. And I believe that we're going to see not just a second huge wave of COVID between September, October, November, but we're going to see major things with the elections. We're going to see major chaos in our country. We're going to see troops in our cities. We're going to see the protests get even worse. We're going to see buildings burn. We're going to see what could only lead to civil war in this country. And so for my friends that are believers, I'm just going to share you what I think you need to hear. First of all, you need to be preparing food. You need to make sure you've got alternative forms of currency like silver or gold or whatever. I believe you need to have an ample supply of both guns and ammunition. And that's not just the Second Amendment fan in me coming out. That is the things that we're seeing. They're talking about defunding the police. That means one thing. You're on your own in a lot of areas. I also believe you need to be praying like you never prayed before. Make sure your family knows what's going on, where you are. Have some communication between your family about if certain things happen, if certain things go down. I'm not saying get off the grid. And I've never, ever said anything like this in my church. I have said I believe things like this could happen, but I've never done what I'm doing right now. And I'm telling you that between September and November of this coming year, and you'll be able to check me, you know, if by the time we get to November nothing's happened, or December 1st, man, you call me on this and say, Dana Coverstone, you're an absolute idiot and a fool for saying those things. Go right ahead. But I realize I'm responsible for what I've spoken. But I also know what I sense, and I know the Holy Spirit's voice enough to know that what I've heard, I believe is going to happen. And what I heard in December happened between March and June. Not because I'm a prophet, but because dreams have a prophetic edge to them sometimes. I've been doing a whole series on dreams and visions. I'm going to finish that series up tonight on my at our church. And I'm going to talk about why dreams and visions are literally an extension of the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, all those things are required for dreams. And I pray, Lord, show me what these things mean that I have seen. Show me how to interpret them and what they are. And right now as I speak this, it is June 24th, Wednesday night at 5:30 p.m. in Burksville, Kentucky. I'm in my office at the church, Living Word Ministries in Burksville, Kentucky, sharing this. Not to scare you, because I believe, you know, look, God gave the prophets of the Old Testament a lot of warnings. Not to scare people, but to prepare them for what was coming. And so I'm challenging you. Don't just throw my word away. Don't just think I'm some preacher trying to get people to come. That's not it either. Because look, the Bible says last days will be a great falling away. Jesus tells people to endure to the end. Make sure you endure to the end. Why? Because people won't endure sound doctrine. They're gonna hear something. You know, some are gonna hear me and go, oh man, he is on drugs or something. I'm just telling you the dreams I've had. You can do with them, you can interpret them the way that you want to. But I'm going to declare that I believe we're going to see between September and November incredible, terrible, awful, nasty, bad things happen in this nation. And for the people who are not prepared for it, it's not just going to catch them in a bad place. It's going to destroy a lot of faith, a lot of hearts, a lot of relationships, a lot of people. The aim is to kill this nation. Because right now, we are a nation that stands in the way of a lot of the Antichrist principles like freedom, liberty, justice, First Amendment, Second Amendment. The Antichrist doesn't want those things. And yes, I do believe the Antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth. And I don't really care what people think about this video. You can call me whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about me. But wait till December 1st to say it. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to come out and say, folks, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I ate that night. I've never had two dreams like this. I've never had a part one, part two. Part one came fully true. And part two, I believe, will as well. So, heed my words, folks. Believers, stop messing around if you're not living for the Lord like you need to. Because the press, there's an olive press moment coming for the church in this country. An olive press moment. And we're going to get crushed and squeezed and pushed down. That's why I believe God keeps saying, brace yourself. He's saying this to me so I can say it to you. Brace yourself for the things that are coming. Endure till the end, no matter how hard it gets. I'm not giving up the faith that I have in Christ. I've come too far in this walk and too far in my life to do that. But I want to make sure that others don't make that mistake and don't just walk away from it. Take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that last noise was just to make sure everybody had woken up, they'd fallen asleep. And Lord, you can turn those lights back on now. So as you watch this video, you're probably like me. You're asking really this one question. Is God the source of this man's dreams? That's the most important question, isn't it? Is God the source of it? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. That means that we are to judge. We're to make a judgment of what is said. We judge what is said against what the Word of God gives us. I just share a couple of points with you about his dream, this idea of the money flowing out of the tops of the banks that he spoke of. As a fellow that was involved in banking for 32 years, I immediately thought of a panic and a run on banks. The money's flowing out. If there's suddenly concern for the availability of your money, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the bank and take it out. You got to understand that in a $100 million bank, for example, the $100 million bank, about $90 million of that bank is deposits, and about $70 to $80 million of that bank is in loans. So that means the $90 million in deposits, where is it? It's been loaned out. It's not in the bank. So if there's a run on that bank, the Federal Reserve has to step up and bring cash into that bank to supply their guarantee of our deposits. What if there was a run on every bank? What if there was a loss of confidence in every bank? What if there was concern that people couldn't get their cash out and they wanted their cash because all the debit cards quit working because of cyber warfare? So the internet is down and you can't get anything with a debit card. You can only get it with cash. Would you go to the bank to get your cash? Yes, you would. Is it there? No, it's not. It's been loaned out. We understand that. But in a panic, all that money flowing out the bank, that's just one example of what that could mean. He mentioned the gargoyles flying over cities of America. Again, I think that is symbolic. It's figurative. It represents, in my opinion, that evil and oppressive forces will be attacking our cities. And that people will be in dark, dark spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. I know this video is disturbing. And I would have never shown it in our church if it in any way was inconsistent with the Word of God. I think this pastor has a genuine heart. Genuineness is in his words and in his countenance. And I believe it's done in the right spirit. I believe a storm is coming to the world and to this country. And it'll give the opportunity for the church not just to get through it, but to thrive through it. Because in the storm, the church can thrive as it stands trial before the world as a witness for the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And it'll open doors that we've never seen open before for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The powerful storm may really come from God as a gift, a badly needed revelation to give us a new lens, so to speak, to view life and eternity and to answer the prayers of saints for lost loved ones that will come to Christ because of the storm. I believe that this coming storm can change the hearts of many that are lost, and it can be the source of a great revival in this land and in our communities. I pray that the coming storm, as it comes, will indeed cause millions of hearts that have grown cold or hearts that have never accepted Christ to come to Jesus. Either way, by preaching or by storm, if we're going to bring in the harvest, if we're going to win souls, we must do so under the anointing and the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Without that anointing, without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just us and ourselves. And this is not about us. It's about the power of God in us. This coming storm can prepare America for this great revival. It could be the greatest revival in the history of our nation. We can have a revival if the church will stay engaged, if it'll stay faithful, if the church will stay righteous, if the church will continue to reach out to those that are hopelessly lost with the good news of Jesus Christ, then we'll see thousands of people, loved ones and family members, tearfully repenting and publicly acknowledging Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Oh, I encourage you, pray for the church. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for America. Sadly, I think most Christians in America have been guilty of thinking that even though the Word of God provides very troubling and disturbing description of the world before the rapture of the church. And I'm not saying the church is going through the Great Tribulation. I believe the rapture will occur before that. But I am saying that the Bible makes it clear that before the return of Christ, there will be the beginning of sorrows. There will be the foretaste of those things to come after the church is raptured and taken into heaven. We must, because of our Christian heritage, because of God's blessings in our favor that He's given us, we must not allow that to make us think that somehow we're exempt for what could come to this country. But we've kind of had that feeling. I think most Christians in America somehow think that could never happen to us. But what's happened in America over the last 3 months? What has happened that fulfilled precisely the dream that this man had, this pastor had, before this past, when he had it in December? Again, I'm going to repeat myself. I do not at all believe the church will go through the tribulation, but we will see the beginning of sorrows. It's mentioned in Luke's gospel and Mark's gospel, Mark 13:7, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Luke 21, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then they will see the Son of Man coming. America will not escape the turmoil. America will not escape the upheaval that are the beginning of sorrows. Christians will be here and we will witness that. So very quickly as I close today, let me leave 3 quick points with you. Number one is this, the pattern of judgment in the past. When you look at God's pattern of judgment in the past, God punished the first sin on earth in the Garden of Eden, didn't He? He removed them from the garden. God punished the wickedness of the earth with the flood. The Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. God also punished His own people, the Jews. The Bible tells us that when the sins of the Jews had filled up the full measure of the cup of wrath, that God poured it out upon their heads. It came true because 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Roman legions came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, scattering the Jews to the ends of the earth. The Bible shows us a very clear pattern of God's judgment, and God does not change, does He? And the world, and yes, even America, will receive a foretaste or be witness to the beginnings of God's judgment that's to come upon this earth that precedes the great tribulation. So we have the pattern, so to speak, of judgment. Second, God always spares His own. He always spares His own. He spared Noah and his family from the flood, didn't He? He spared Lot and his family from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He spared the Christians in Jerusalem in 70 AD when Jerusalem fell. Because the Bible tells us in Luke 20, 20 and 21, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, these are the words of Jesus, by the way. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. The Jewish historian Josephus records that when Titus, the Roman general, lifted the siege of him coming upon Jerusalem, when he lifted that siege for a short time, because he had heard that the Egyptian armies were coming up from the south to rescue Israel, so he stopped the siege. And when he stopped the siege, all the Christians who had been caught in that city, in Jerusalem, they remembered the words of Jesus, and they immediately fled the city. History records that over 100,000 Jews were slaughtered by the Romans when they took siege of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But not one Christian was lost because they remembered the words of Jesus. When you see this, get out of the city, flee to the mountains. So we've examined God's pattern of judgment and that He always spares His own. And the third thing is, it will happen again. Malachi 3 and 6, the word says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I believe that the early labor pains of God's coming judgment is at hand. And we will see this in our own country. All that is foretold of the Scriptures we read and we have read at the beginning of this sermon, I'll recount them again quickly, Luke 21 and 28. Now, when you see these things happen, look up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, when we see things falling apart, when we think things happen that we could never imagine happen, Jesus is saying, get your eyes on that. Look up, remember my promise for you. Your redemption draweth nigh. Mark 13, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Jesus has given us that warning to prepare us. In 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. We're in the last days. Oh, we are. We're in the last days. God gives us a clear picture of what we will face before the rapture of the church. It's an earth that's in turmoil, isn't it? It's an earth in conflict. It's an earth that will create fear and anxiety. Especially if our hope is just in the things of this world. Oh, but hear me today. Our hope is not just in the things of this world. Our hope cannot be just in the things of this world that gives us assurance and comfort today. Because if it is, we will be sorely disappointed. It'll be shattered in coming days. We must be strong in our faith and in our foundation in Jesus Christ. Because there will come a testing unlike anything we've ever seen coming upon us. So I ask this question, will we be faithful? Will we stand the test? Will we hold tight the promises of God, remembering indeed that He protects His own? Will we remember the words of Jesus when it all begins to happen and things begin to unravel? Will we remember His words that says, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh? He's saying, just pause and remember, at any moment, at any time, Jesus is going to step out on that cloud, and the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who will remain will meet Him in the air. At any moment, He's saying, lift up your head and remember that promise when you see these things happening. I know this is a clear and sober and serious word from God to help us to prepare us, to strengthen us, not to frighten us, not to fill us with fear. Oh, fear should be no part of this for the believer. But we have the promises of God. This is victory for us. Amen? This is the last days. We know victory is ahead. That wonderful song that says that I dare not trust in anything but Jesus Christ's righteousness. He's our foundation, amen? And He's coming soon. The promise of the rapture, the catching away of the bride of Christ, the hope of heaven, the hope of a reunion with our loved ones, the wonderful return of Christ to this earth, and the millennial reign that we'll be a part of, and a new heaven and a new earth, and a holy Jerusalem is our hope and our promise today. Oh, let us lift up our heads, our redemption, draw earth nigh, give praise, give thanks, worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Victory is ours because of Jesus. There is no fear because of Jesus. There's only hope today because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord would say, turn not away from the truth. Do not harden your heart. Do not be full of disbelief. Humble yourselves. Submit to the Lordship of Jesus. You will not understand it all, but trust me, the Lord says. You will not understand the things that will happen, but can you trust me, the Lord says to us. Trust in me. And I will see you through this, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The dear man that shared the video, Brother Dana Culverstone, he also has, his church also has a YouTube channel. He posted that on YouTube. He said that the anger and the ugliness and the criticism was overwhelming. The bitter, ugly, mean remarks was just unbelievable. He said there were also many Christians that were giving him words of encouragement and thanking him. But he finally removed it. He removed it from YouTube and he said, I don't need all of the harsh criticisms and I don't need a lot of the applause. I'm just removing it because I've shared what I have put in my, what God has put in my heart that I've given to you. He's still remained on his Facebook page of his church, and that enabled us to watch it today. I go back to what I said earlier. The Bible says that when there's a prophecy, that believers must judge. They must prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean to me, to our church, to our community? What does this mean? We must judge according to the Word of God and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I leave that word with you today. I encourage you to pray. Oh, get on your knees and pray. Ask God to show you, to lead you. Ask Him to give you such a sense of a burden for the lost. That's a good burden. A burden for those that need Jesus. A passion to be a bold witness because the time is short. And we have a great opportunity to share that good news and the hope of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. May God put that in our hearts today to stir us with such a need to speak forth that eternal truth that Jesus is the only hope, that Jesus is the answer, and He is. We thank you for that. Would you please stand with me today? Thank you for being with us. Thank you, guests and visitors that are with us. We thank you. We're honored to have you with us. And we encourage you, if you're looking for a home church, come back and be with us. And we thank our two newest members, Nilda Michelli and Zenaida Lungu, for being with us. God bless you, ladies. Thank you for joining the church. We appreciate you so much. Brother Coy, would you just close us out in prayer today, sir? Thank you.